I was going to do an experiment this morning, but I could not find any iodine, so unfortunately that experiment is off. But my goal of the experiment was to show by adding some chemicals together that the water would be clear, but then eventually all of a sudden it would change to blue color, and how sin can overtake your life so easily. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, "What part of no do you not understand?" And the sarcastic person would say, "Well, I don't understand the N or I don't understand the O," but you don't want to say that when somebody's asking you that. We struggle with boundaries and limits, don't we? It is so easy to want to do what our bodies naturally want to do. One of the fruits of the Spirit is what? Self-control, right? Self-control is something that's not so easily taught. We know there's many kids out there in this world that you could go and see that you're like, wow, that kid in the store is way out of control. They have not been taught appropriately. Do you, as an individual, as a Christian, desire to willfully sin? What part of no do you not understand? Do you deprive yourself of the desires? Or do you easily give in to those temptations? Can't always get what you want. How many of you remember that song? A song was going through my head while I was going through this sermon by the Rolling Stones. You can't always get what you want. As the world progresses into further darkness, less no is heard, and more, hey, if you feel like doing that, by all means, go right ahead. You want to give in to that sin? Why not? We don't want to make people have to abstain from something they want to do. It used to be a big issue back in the day to have couples move in before they were married. That was like a big no-no. Now, it's almost unheard of that you don't move in together before you get married, if you even do choose to get married. What about that inappropriate joke that you may tell? Or you continue to spread it around? You don't disassociate from it. Isn't sin kind of being watered down? It's not as important anymore. It's okay. Give in. But you know what? It's still considered a sin. Whoa. I forgot I had that setting in there. Wasn't even supposed to do that. All right. Titus, the second chapter, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It teaches us to say no. We are all guilty of the sin that leads to death. Yet we are taught through God's word what is acceptable behavior and how to resist. When we are tempted, that's when we are drawn away from God but it is if we actually engage in that sin where it becomes a sin. Back when I was in school, and no, I did not go to a one-room schoolhouse, we had a program called DARE. Anybody participate in the program called DARE? I don't know if that's even in the schools anymore. But it was to help kids to say no to drugs. Their motto was, just say no. Of course, it's that easy, isn't it? When you have peer pressure in high school, even middle school, you don't want to say no because that's going to make you stand out. Others will make fun of you. If we are born again in Christ, we should strive to remove sin from our bodies. In 1 John 3, it states, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Do you follow this? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind? How much in the week do you think about God? Or are you thinking about what's going on in your everyday walk? In 1 John 3, we continue, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he may take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him. You continue to willfully sin. What part of no do you not understand? Christ showed his love for us as he gave his life for us. We are all worthy of eternal damnation and hell. Because we so easily give in. As Christians, we live in Christ, but cannot be a part of Christ when sin is present in our bodies. With that said, we have to protect ourselves and our children from those who are trying to entice us away from Christ. I don't know how many of you have heard lately issues going on with trying to encourage kids to identify as other identities. Don't we as Christians have a responsibility to protect our children from the evils of this world? Also to help them to understand how to fight against those evils. Truth is truth. So many people are trying to twist truth with falseness. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Are you ignoring the warning alarms going off in your car? You may have a check engine light go on. What happens if you continue to ignore that? Usually you're stranded along the shoulder of the road, or your vehicle won't start, or you have a Chevy truck that breaks down a lot. Just like in verse 8 again, saying the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. I've referenced Paul before, but I want to again bring him up here. In Romans 7, he talks, I have discovered the principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. When you are a slave, you're dedicated to that. You're enslaved. It is very hard to get away from that slavery. Maybe you're tired, emotionally drained by the war that is within you. You're constantly on top of managing your everyday activities, battling your thoughts, struggling to try to keep them pure. Paul, a man of whom God used as a great example of a changed individual, constantly had struggles. If God used Paul to preach his word to others to help change them, why couldn't he use you as well? Some of the struggles most people don't give two thoughts to are as follows. And it's not by any means an extensive list here. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. Have you ever had the thought that you really don't want to see a person ever again in your life? Be careful, because that is extremely close to the definition of hate if it's not. I know I have relatives who mention that they can't stand someone. I'm always trying to reinforce with them, you should not hate anyone. Hate leads to sin, which leads to death. Just because you're not actually committing murder does not make you okay with God. It is what is in your heart that matters to God. Be extremely careful with your feelings towards others. Again, we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what the great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Think of a master like God. If God was to have a bit in every one of our mouths, how sore would our mouths be? How often does our tongue get us into trouble? We need guidance. James, the third chapter. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth came praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Are we hypocrites? We try to praise God and act like we're all good, and holy, but with the same breath, we are not acting like Christians. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. These two passages alone should be enough to humble all of us in our thoughts. You may be confident that you do well serving God, but give great consideration of the words that proceed from your mouth. Even if you say something with one meaning, others may interpret it as something else. Misunderstandings happen all too often. Let's move to Galatians, the second chapter, in verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile believers who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessities of circumcision. As a result, other Christian believers followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barabbas was led astray by her hypocrisy. This is what can happen. Other believers can be led astray by your actions. Let us make sure that we are representing Christ well, that we are not being hypocrites ourselves. Peter was shown partiality, which goes against the command of loving your neighbor as yourself. We as well should try to make sure that we aren't showing partiality towards others. In James, the second chapter, he writes, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law of the lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. If you were a lawbreaker, where is your sentence going to be? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Romans 6:12-13. Let's work on ourselves as an instruments for doing righteousness instead of for Satan. Choose to say no to sin. Do you not know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Who wants to become a slave to righteousness? You, however, in Romans 8, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. I want Christ living in me. Every one of you wants Christ living in you. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. I would like to extend the gospel invitation to all of us. We all are on the same pathway. We all have the same goal of making it to heaven. But as in, like I said today in my lesson, the very least sin that you have sinned can still hold you back. It can grow in you. Your tongue is one of those evils. It's necessary. It's how we spread what we believe. It's how we can spread the message of Christ. But it is also something that can be show that we're hypocritical. We can take people down. We've got to be careful as Christians. And if you struggle with those issues, we're here to help. If you are wanting any or in need of any other assistance at this time, I would like to leave this verse with you, Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. It's very important that we try to rid this sin out of our life, to help others as well, as we all have our own struggles. But as a body of Christ, we are stronger together. If you have any needs that need to be addressed, come and do so now as we stand and sing.